Roll call has been taken. I'll let the record reflect. All members are present.
Fantastic. Just in time, we have public comments. There are no public presence, so we will dispense with the public comments and move on to approval of the minutes.
So moved.
And seconded, all those in favor?
Aye.
And the motion passed. Item number one, staff.
Okay, this is just a general discussion brought before you. With the amount of committee meetings that we have, coupled with our board meetings, dates can become confusing, missed if we cancel a meeting and then put on a special meeting. It can become confusing for not only the board members and the committee members, but also for staff. So we're looking for suggestions on and your input with us on how we can make life a little easier for you in making sure that we're all reminded of the meetings that we're supposed to be at. Now, one of the things that we have done is we've changed some wording in how we're going to send out, how we're going to calendar these events and send you the invite. So we're going to call the regular meeting or a regular committee meeting, a regular meeting or a regular committee meeting. And if it's canceled, we're going to put the word in bold, canceled, in front of it. And then in the body, if you click on it, in the body, it will say either to be rescheduled or the date that it is rescheduled. And then on the whatever we move it to, it will now be called a special communications meeting, internal ops meeting. And in the body of that, when you click on it, it will turn around and say, this is in place of the meeting that was canceled on such and such a day.
So are you, that's just the...
That's just the calendar part.
It's just trying to keep... Was it because of confusion?
If
you call it regular, it might look like we've changed the actual date of the meeting.
Well, one of the things that we did is that the meeting you were supposed to attend had rescheduled in front of it,
right.
Which to me was confusing. It's like now that meeting's been rescheduled, so we're going to eliminate that language. And then
I can see your point in the fact that it wasn't confusing to me because I was the one that I think asked to have it rescheduled, but it might be confusing to the other
two public.
To the public or to somebody else on the committee, what does that mean? Whatever makes it clear, I have no problem with any way you want to move it forward in making it clear. I would say that to use the word special meeting, there's a category of special meetings. And so that changes the notification process, that changes a lot of different requirements. Is that what you're intending to do with the reschedule?
Unless it's canceled, and the next regular board meeting is when we're going to meet.
Right.
Anything that's in between that would be a special meeting.
Right. Okay.
But you'll be able to click on it and you'll see, a body of what's taking place because just so much is going on.
So there'll be a little header up there. This meeting replaces the meeting that was
exactly.
last week or something.
Which would be on your invitation for your Outlook. Right, Carol?
Yes,
we talked about that.
Yes.
And then the other thing, aside from that completely, is your Outlook calendars will now have a second and third calendar attached to it that you can click on. This is almost up and running. We're in the beta stage with interior staff, to where it'll be just a simple calendar where you can click on it and it will show the meeting as a regular meeting, or if it's canceled, it'll have the same kind of wording in it. But you can go right to a calendar of meetings. So if your phone goes down or whatever, we have this calendar, and all it is to click on there, and you can see when your next meetings are. Just very simple.
Okay. So I get nothing from the town on my phone. Carol and I have talked about this. I get nothing because for me to put it on my phone, it's asking the town's provider to have access to my entire phone. I refuse to do that. I don't understand why that's necessary. It's a glitch in the system or something weird. But when I tried to put it on my phone, it said that I'm giving access to everything on my phone to the server, which means that somebody that could get into that server could have access to all my emails.
Well, you're actually crossing over into something more that needs to be discussed about personal and private phones as well.
So that being the case,
so the idea
now, here, do we have Outlook? These are Apple. Do they have Outlook on?
Well, we're going to, correct me if I'm wrong, Carol, is we're going to have ask for your individual notebooks back. They're going to put Outlook on that. and then you'll be able to see that on your notebook.
So there is a crossover now from Microsoft to Apple for Outlook.
Ken is in the process. He has already done it for Bill Mayer's iPad, so he's able to install Outlook on the iPads.
All right, so then...
you'll also have access to a calendar that shows vacations and things of that
nature. Because interestingly enough, when I install the town's email on my laptop, I don't have to give up those same
Are you getting in there through Rackspace? The Rackspace...
On my computer, I just put in Outlook. Well, my password's all messed up anyway. Everything's messed up. I have no access to Apple Store or anything through my thing. It's all under Rick Howard's name for some reason. So there's all kinds of issues, but I quite don't use it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to try to get everything squared away.
Right. Maybe Ken can grab all of the iPads when it's the best time for you guys, and he can clean them all up and somehow get everyone's password set to you or to a standard town password.
So, with that, Carol, go ahead, sir.
You talk about the different calendars, a calendar of meetings and a calendar. Will we ever have a calendar that shows town events?
Yes. Okay. That's the third calendar. Okay. So, but we want to keep them separate.
I know, each one, right? Yeah.
So there'll be community events that actually Monica will enter data on, and then vacation, staff vacation, as well as board director vacations and time off. And then the third one, of course, is just meetings.
Perfect.
Yeah. But they'll all be in the same email account. They'll all be coming off of K-Graves.
In your Outlook, you'll have your Outlook calendar, and then calendar two might be his calendar.
I'm with you. There'll be some calendars underneath my email address.
Once Ken uploads Outlook onto all of the iPads, I'll share those calendars with you once we have everything set in stone in with staff first, just to get everything tested.
We might have some hiccups, but we're going to try and work through them. That kind of concludes that item, which goes into item number two, if we can. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, move right along.
So dovetailing right into your commentary is that there is a new law that states that if you use your private phone or your private email to conduct business, that is discoverable under the Public Records Act. Now, what is discoverable? So if you're conducting business on texting me on your phone, that's a business act. They now have access to your phone in order to see the text messages that you've sent.
Who's they?
Anybody who files a Public Records Act can do that because that is now in your personal stuff, in your personal email, in your personal phone.
But if there's nothing there, then there's nothing there.
Well, if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And that's easy. But when there are certain things there, you now have to comply with record keeping, maintaining that record a certain period of time under the law because it's a business record now. And I could see in some of the scuttlebutt is in order to keep things honest and objective, that if somebody makes a request of something on your phone, it might have to go to a third unbiased party to go through your phone to determine what texts are going to be business related. That's
not in the law. There's nothing about
that. That's not the law.
Right.
That's a potential practice. So, I'm just giving heads up. The law is, of course, that's discoverable and you have to maintain those records. We're trying to get a handle on this because we'll have to do a procedure. But I believe, we're prepared to offer to board members that wish to not have that occur to supply them with a phone so that they can text the business texts and retrieve their business email on the phone, etc.
I don't need a third phone.
Well, and this becomes a choice.
The other thing, I'm just talking out loud here because I probably don't understand all of the implications here, but it's always been discoverable. It's been discoverable ever since I had a cell phone 20 years ago. Everything you did
business-wise. Well, it's serious.
It's all discoverable. Right. How do you discover it? You're, you know, right. Bring up a good point. But a workaround is just to don't do it. We all have our own, we all have a kind of Discovery Bay email.
Right.
And if I want to shoot you a message, maybe I just have
that's
to go to your email.
For people that are near their home a lot, but for people that don't aren't around their house at, during business time forever.
I can get my County Discovery Bay email right here.
I can't.
Well, we can supply you a phone that does, but
No, I won't.
Yeah. Oh, no, not on that phone. On a different provider might solve your problem.
Provided by the town, if that's the direction you want to go. So the implication is if you do use your private email account to conduct business, just know that that's discoverable and you have mandates under record keeping law.
Yeah.
And same with the texts that occur on your private phone.
I think that is, I think just notifying the
individual board members.
I think notifying the board members of that in a meeting, in an open meeting, as part of the procedure and making people understand that until it becomes a problem, I don't know that we need to change anything.
Because if you don't do anything untoward on your emails,
right.
Discover my texts.
Right.
Mike, I'd like to have a meeting on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Right.
Joe Bull, you want a copy of it? Here you go.
Right.
I don't know.
I would agree.
Nothing. And if I have something that's related to a closed session item, I'm not going to do it on text or email.
Right. Right.
I don't, you're right, and I never do anything with regards, if our attorneys send me something that's on a closed session that says this is confidential, I don't respond to it, I don't do anything with it, except it's on my email.
Right.
And that's, we all know it's going to be discoverable, at least the fact that it was a closed session item is not discoverable.
Not discoverable.
But all that's there is what was sent to me, not, I don't download it onto my laptop, I mean my desktop or anything. It strictly stays in that file, so that they can have that all they want.
Yeah. Well, that's redactable, actually.
Yeah.
I understand.
Whether it's on your personal phone.
That would be the only thing that I could see it would be.
But I was thinking more in terms of just, as a communication committee, letting you know that, I mean, I could do this one-on-one with board members. Here's the issues. Here's the implication. Would you like a town phone that can have your Outlook on it, your town email on it, and we pick up the cost for that?
I'll save you a phone call. I don't want it.
Okay. President Lee does not
want it.
No, I think that, like I said, I think the procedures is working just fine the way it is, as long as everybody's being made aware of it.
Everybody should know.
Everybody should know that there's that option, but I don't think that we're not doing anything currently in the process that we have that's in violation of any.
Yeah, the only question would be,
I guess keeping it for a certain period of time might be the only thing that might.
That's probably the issue. So we will probably be working with Rod to establish some kind of a protocol for, you know, business stuff that occurs on private.
Might be able to put together a little information paper that says, look, if you use it, you need to remember it's discoverable. If somebody sends a public reference request, send it to Rod so he can figure out what it is.
Look,
and you have to keep it for whatever. Now, like all my stuff, all of it's stored in the cloud. It's there forever.
Oh, everything's there forever.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. So, I send Bob a text to see when he's playing golf on Friday, and to see if he's got an opening in the foursome on my personal cell phone to his personal cell phone. That's not how business.
Correct.
Just because we're two directors.
Correct.
Talking. I mean, that would be more applicable things you guys do because you and Bill do play golf on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not the same way. If I was to text you something to say, hey, listen, I hear that the Joneses are having a get together. I know you hang out with them at the yacht club. You want to go over there together. That's not what we're talking
correct.
About. It has to be town business.
Yeah. Where the
just because it's communication doesn't make it town business.
Correct.
Right. And so some of the concern is what is the practical application of this in the future? Who makes that determination? You have. You know, is this going to develop into something later where we now have third parties assuring the objectivity of determining whether, in fact, it is a business or non-business message?
And can council do that for us? Who's going to have to defend us anyway?
Well, it may be council, maybe whomever.
Well, I'm saying, you know,
it could be your general manager, but do you want your general manager going through your personal stuff to determine what's personal or not? You may not.
But I'm just saying, in terms of determining whether it's subject to the Public Records Act, let council determine, says, yes, those aren't, send them copies of this, if he takes care of it.
Right.
If somebody complains that, well, you didn't give me everything, talk to council.
Right.
Because council's going to defend me that I provided everything that was discoverable, that was appropriate, and it was all turned over.
I believe, personally, that if I'm giving a public records, if you're giving a public records request that requests all texts about this specific subject between Mike Davies and Kevin Graves, it's up to me to get those up. It's not up to anybody else to get those up. And unless the law reads differently.
I have not seen the law address that part of it. So you're correct. I could tell you that one of the things, I went to the board secretary conference. That was the best conference to get grassroots information on stuff. And one of the things they mentioned at the conference is they had a board member texting someone in the audience, and someone saw him texting on the dais, made a public request for that text, and because it was done during, it was a private communication, but because it was done during the board meeting, that became a business text.
Even if it had nothing to do with any business, it could have been about a golf. It could be me and him over a golf thing. But if they saw it, they could say, "I want that."
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Just saying how.
That's where the burden of proof does fall on the text or textee, because the fact it happened during the meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
They could also claim, you know, you guys, and the issue is, it's also you want to avoid doing that, because during the meeting they could say that there's you're violating the Brown Act because you guys are actually secretly communicating on the phone or email or whatever. Oh, it has happened. So you want to be really, and then you're doing something innocent, but somebody can infer it was something else, and the next thing you know, you got a little mess. Anyway, this is all about heads up.
Okay.
That's all I have on that. Mr. Chairman, may I go on to number three?
Yes,
you
want. I'm sorry, I'm busy texting somebody.
Okay, so item three and four, if we could, we're going to combine, because they're actually related, and I wanted to give you the calendar here. Dina, pass it down. And this is just for a visual. And the issue is the winter break closure. And in looking ahead on this, I can see that we have the green are board meetings, regular board meetings. One is on the 20th and one is on the 3rd of January. Now, as you can see, there's adequate staff time to put together an agenda and staff reports and have them checked by the president and Rod prior to the meetings for the 20th meeting. But when we get down to the third meeting, we will only be back one day before that happens. So I'm asking if we can do a committee recommendation on the 6th regular board meeting to ask that the meeting on the 3rd be canceled.
Okay. So why is the 22nd a day off?
That's their winter break. That's the way the days fall that they get. Dina, you have experience with this?
Oh, because there's a 5-day break, and see, that's, I don't understand that.
That's a 5-day break, yeah.
We gave 3 or 4 days to be able to do this, so, you know,
I know that you're not getting any extra days off.
That's right.
I'm just still saying.
One of the things that we're doing this year that I don't think we've done in the past is we haven't really notified our constituents of this, so... on the water bill, we put down our winter break closure dates, starting with this one and the one in December, and we're putting it on the website. Be advised, so that we have better communication.
And that there's emergency numbers for them to call if they have a water problem or a sewer problem or whatever.
Right, right.
So the recommendation then is to cancel the 3rd.
Cancel the 3rd because it's just too hard on staff, and we would actually have to prepare.
You'd have to bring somebody in during the break because you have the notice requirement.
Well, and the alternative, though, just to be fair, is that we get all of that done on Thursday, our last day, but we just had a meeting the day before. Anything that would fall on there should have fell on the meeting the day before. So I'll make that recommendation with the committee's approval. and bring that before the board meeting on the 6th.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that there's no way you're going to be able to find new business. You can't close it. So if that's what it is, if that's the beast, if that's the schedule we have, then that's right. Then that makes perfect sense.
Well, I think in the future it may fall over. On the first meeting rather than this meeting. Yeah. And with that, that's our internal ops stuff that we've been looking at. A lot of things are pending.
You know, I thought there was a thing. So you still have some future agenda items to carry over from the previous meeting?
Correct.
We have multiple things in progress. The marijuana policy is in progress. The probationary period is in progress. The travel and expense report is in progress. We're just about concluding. It is in progress. So numerous policies and procedures are in progress. It's just we're putting out fires every day. We'll get them on here.
All right, then hearing no other business, we will adjourn this meeting.
All right, thank you.